You know, different preachers have different what's called life messages. You know, if you turn on the internet or regular television, you'll see, you know, you've got the guys that focus on faith, and you've got, you know, other people who focus on grace, and, you know, lots of other people that focus on different parts. And it doesn't mean they don't talk about other things, but they tend to, that's what gets them excited. Well, let me tell you what my life message is. As I've looked over the last 30 years of my Christian walk, it is talking about the presence of the Lord. That is my life message. Because here's the thing, you need both faith and grace to get into the presence of the Lord. So faith and grace are important, and we talk about that. But let me tell you, today it's in my wheelhouse to talk to you about the presence of the Lord. Here's why: the presence of the Lord has changed the destiny of my life. And so that's why I can get excited about it. I literally am living in a different country because of the presence of the Lord. And we'll talk about that a little bit later. And I'm not saying that the presence of the Lord, here's the thing, I just said that. Some of you are like, I don't want this. No, you're right away, you're backing away. I don't want that extreme. Listen, I'm not telling you the presence of the Lord will take you to a different country. But I'm telling you this, that the presence of the Lord will take you to the best of the land that God has for you. And it may be right here in Hyde Park, or here in Poughkeepsie, or Wappingers Falls, or Rhinebeck, or Highland. You know, I'm not saying that he may take you to a different country. He might. But the thing is, wherever he wants to take you is the best of the land. And are you willing to acknowledge that and believe that God's presence wants to take you places you couldn't imagine? Well, last week we began to talk about this whole concept of pursuing the Lord. And the most important thing I hope you got out of that, and if you didn't hear the message, I encourage you to listen to it. It's in entirety. But here's the thing, that we all have access to his presence. You know, and that, you know, if you're making notes, write that down. That is so, so important. As believers in the Lord, we all have access. Jesus has made a way where there seemeth to be no way. He made it by dying on the cross, giving his life, and then when he rose again from the dead, the Bible says that he blew apart, you know, ripped apart the temple curtain to make a way from the holy place into the most holy place. And that was signifying that you and I now have access into the very presence of God. Now, we talked about the fact the enemy will tell you, no, you did this today. You did this last week. You're doing this right now. What gives you the right to be able to go into the presence of God? He's holy and you're not. Well, that's nothing new. I know that I'm not holy, but I know that I've been forgiven and the blood of Jesus has cleansed me. And that's the important thing. You see, the minute we think we have to work our way into God's presence, you're never going to get there. Because you're never going to be good enough in your own strength. That's why we need Jesus to save us in the first place. And so I encourage you, when the enemy comes and tries to condemn you and guilt you and shame you, say to him, those things may be true, devil, but I've been forgiven and Jesus has made a way for me. And it's not by my works, but it's because of what Jesus did. It's because of his blood that I can enter into the presence of God. And so we get to choose to enter into the presence of God unashamed. Wow. Now here's the thing. You might say, well, what about if I've done something wrong? Well, God will let you know about that. We're going to talk about that in a few minutes. But here's the thing. Here's what I will tell you. That God loves you and he has a plan for your life. And in his presence is every answer to every question that you have. Now that doesn't mean that he'll give you an answer today. How many people have questions for Jesus? My hands up, you notice. I got a few questions for him. But the reality of it is, if we keep walking with him on a daily basis, we will get answers to those questions. You know the reason why we don't always get the answers? We're not ready for the answer. It's not from God's side. God's not the problem. He's got all the answers. He's not like, I'll get back to you. I have to think about that. You know, God doesn't have to think about anything. He's got the answer. The situation is that we're not ready. You know, as it said, there was a movie with Nicholson in it, and he said, you can't handle the truth. You know, you can't handle the truth. And there are times in our lives we can't handle the truth. And so what does God do? He waits till we're in a place where we can handle it. And how can we learn to handle it? As each day we walk with him. Amen. Let's look at a scripture that talks a little bit about this. 1 Chronicles chapter 16, verse 11. Look to the Lord and his strength. Seek his face or his presence always. So look to the Lord means to seek regularly. It doesn't mean that, okay, once a week I come to church and I look to the Lord for some wisdom. I hope that you're seeking God far more than Sunday morning for an hour's worth of time. Like, my goodness, you know, you're trusting all of eternity with an hour of a week with Jesus. Let me tell you something. You need to have every moment of every day with his presence in mind. You might say, well, hold it. You don't work like I do. You don't have a job. Yes, I do. I have a job. So get ready to share with you. I have a job to deal with things. And here's the thing. I worked in the secular world for the first 30-plus years of my life, and I learned that the presence of God can go anywhere. Anywhere. You know, they may outlaw prayer in schools, and you can't do certain things in certain places. But let me tell you something. The presence of God goes wherever I go. There is no place... No place. The Apostle Paul even talks about this in Romans 8. Neither height nor depth nor angels nor demons, neither anything in all creation can separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus. Now, if we can't be separated from the love of God, we can't be separated from his presence then. Amen? And it's important for us to know that and acknowledge that. You see, the truth is God's presence will never leave you nor forsake you. But are we acknowledging him? And really, that's my life message, is that, look, it's more than just saying, look, I'm a temple of the Holy Spirit. Jesus lives in me. How many people believe that? Yeah. It's true, right? Amen? Yeah. But that not only that he lives there, but I'm talking with him, and I'm walking with him every moment of the day. Every decision I'm making, I'm consulting with the presence of God, with the Holy Spirit. Lord, should I do this? Should I not do this? Everything. Should I talk to this person? You know, this person's talking to me and they sound like they're angry. Well, what are they really angry about, Lord? Are they angry at me, or they got an issue in their own heart? What's going on there? And have the Holy Spirit show me what's going on. You see, that's what I'm really talking about when I talk about pursuing the presence. It's not just for answers for your life. It's for answers for the people around you in your life. Amen? God loves them as much as he loves you. And you have been called to be a vessel of the presence of God. Wow. That's a big deal. And I don't say that to scare anyone, but to realize that we have a calling in this life. And it's not just to live life, but it's to experience the presence of God as we're living this life. That's what makes us different from the world. We're not better than the world. I don't want anyone to think, well, as a Christian, we're up here and everyone else is down here. It's just we've been changed by the presence, and we are to be a light to their darkness. That's what God's called you and I to do. And so how often, going back to that scripture in 1 Chronicles, how often do we seek the Lord? Always. It says always. And that means literally through prayer and worship. Well, that word seek means through prayer and worship. So you're adoring for who he is, and then you're worshiping him and thanking him, and then you're bringing whatever needs you might have. But here's the problem that you and I face. How many people have a busy life? And so what can happen in our Christian busy life is that God gets relegated to just a small portion of actual time. And so when we come to him, what can happen? I know what happens for me sometimes. Instead of adoring him and thanking him for who he is and approaching him that way, I kind of come in and say, hey, Lord, I got 10 minutes. Here's my needs. You know, I got this going on with my family. I got this going on over here. This is happening in the church, or this isn't happening in the church. Lord, I want help over here. How many people have prayed that way? Yeah. And is God angry with that? No, he's not. But here's something that I've discovered over the last number of years that I want to encourage you with. That instead of even thinking about all of your needs first, to just approach him for who he is. Just lay all that aside and just come in and adore him and thank him and praise him and worship him. And you know what I found? It's like this amazing miracle that happens. That when I do that, when I take the time, kind of take that deep breath and go, okay, Lord, this isn't about my needs. This is about you and me. This is about just connecting. You see, God doesn't want you just to have a relationship. He doesn't want you to just know about him. He wants you to be connected to him, integrated in a sense, that every part of your life is connected to him. But as you come into that place that literally it's, Lord, I just thank you for who you are. And then here's what has happened to me numerous times. I finish the prayer time because, you know, got it, you know, life carries on. And I'm like, you know, see you later, Jesus, kind of thing. And he says, oh, by the way, I've looked after this for you. I want you to say this in this circumstance. I'd like you to not do this anymore. In other words, all those things that I had needs about and all those things I was concerned about that I didn't bring to him, but I just wanted to be with him, he already had answers. And he just lets me know what to do. And I'm like, wow, that's how it should be. In other words, God shouldn't be that emergency lever on the wall when you got a fire going on in your life. And the only time you pull it is when things are hitting the roof, you know what I'm saying, or hitting the fan, so to speak. That's not our life with Jesus. That's not the way it should be. But rather a daily communal walk with him so that when those fires do happen, we already have the answer because we talked to the Lord about it last week. And he said, oh, by the way, this is going to be happening. Be aware of this. Watch out for this. That's how it should be so that we're not running around with a fire hose trying to put out all the fires. We already have the answer, and we've already prepared for what's going to happen. You see, the presence of God not only is with us, but has been backwards in time, forwards in time, everywhere. He knows everything. You have within you the presence of God that can tell you about anything, but more importantly, what you need to know today. The question is, have you taken the time to listen? And that brings me to point two. Let me just review. Point one was, Lord wants us to have access to his presence. In other words, we have that. The next one is, the Lord wants us to experience his presence daily in our lives. When I say daily, I don't mean like you wake up in the morning, hey, Jesus, I thank you that you're with me. Bye. You know, and then at nighttime, Lord, I lay my head down to sleep. You know, that little prayer. I pray the Lord my soul to keep. You know, if I should die before I wake, I pray the Lord my soul to keep. You know, not just that a little opening prayer and a closing prayer. Okay, well, I've included Jesus at the beginning, at the end. But literally, as you're driving to work, thanking God. Thanking God for that guy, that jerk that just cut you off. You know what I'm saying? Because if you don't have an attitude of the presence of God, you're cursing that guy out or that girl out. But if you have the presence of God with you, you're praying and interceding that they don't cut somebody off and hurt somebody. In other words, it changes everything. The presence of God changes how you think, how you live, how you breathe, how you interact with people. But if we're not conscious of it, then we won't flow in it. You'll never become complete in your life without the Holy Spirit. You'll always have less than enough without his presence, no matter what you have. You might be, you know, before you were even born again, you might have been financially secure. You might have had, you know, everything all kind of laid out. Let me tell you something. What God has for you in his presence is far more than you could ever amass for yourself. And there's only contentment in him. Brings me to my third point. So how does the presence of the Lord work in our lives? How does this work in a nitty-gritty kind of way? You know, here I am talking about the presence, and sometimes we're like, okay, you know, it's kind of like an ethereal kind of thing. He's there. His presence is sort of there. How does this work? How do I connect? How does this work? Well, the best way I can do this is to take you to the Old Testament for a few minutes and show you four scripture verses that I think could help you understand where I'm coming from. So God, through his presence, wants to do what? Guide and protect us. So that's one of the ways, the practical ways, that the presence of God is in our lives. So go with me to Exodus chapter 13. Just to give you a little background, just before this, the children of Israel had left Egypt. And if you remember, you had the whole story of all the plagues and everything, and Pharaoh didn't want to let the children of Israel go. The plagues all come, and then the final plague is the plague of the firstborn dying. And finally, Pharaoh says, okay, you can go. So they start to leave. And so as they're leaving, they begin to go. And we pick up the story right there. Two verses. Exodus 13, verses 21 and 22. And the Lord went before them by day in a pillar of cloud to lead the way, and by night in a pillar of fire to give them light. So as to go by day and night, he, meaning God, did not take away the pillar of cloud by day or the pillar of fire by night from before the people. So this is the first time in the Bible that we hear about this pillar of cloud and pillar of fire. And as we read through, Moses later on reiterates on it, and he talks about the fact that God led them out of Egypt. So even though this is the first time it's mentioned, we definitely get the idea that on day one, in other words, as they were beginning to march out of Egypt, that the pillar of cloud was there during the day and the pillar of fire was there at night. You might say, well, what's this got to do with us? Well, think about this. That pillar of cloud by day and that pillar of fire represented the presence of God. They literally had an ongoing miracle in front of their eyes. In other words, at night, they come out of their tent. Look, there's that pillar of fire. Now, let me tell you something. I've seen pictures, all right? It wasn't like a little candle flickering in the night, okay? This was like a furnace fire. Like, you know, if you've probably never done this, but if you take your gas furnace or your oil burner and you take it out of its chamber and turn the thing on, it goes, you know, and there's this giant fire that comes out. It's really awesome. I guess I'm a little bit of a fire bug by the sounds of it. But anyway, it's awesome. And so picture that literally that's what you're seeing. You walk outside and you see this giant column of fire. So it's not this little flickering flame. It's enough to light the way for a million or so people. So we're talking about some serious candle power, if you know what I'm saying. And then at during the day, you've got this giant cloud. Now, when you look up the word cloud, you know, at first I thought, well, you know, maybe it's one of those kind of like white fluffy clouds that you see, you know, looking like a giant cotton ball, you know, that in the sky. Well, no. That's not, it actually talks about, you know, storm clouds. It talks about the idea that this is a moving cloud. And so you get this picture of this column that goes up and there's white and black in it. And there might even be some lightning bolts in there and some rumbling of thunder. In other words, you knew something was going on. You know, that cloud and that fire represented what? It was the presence of God. So there was something happening and it was big and it was real and it was a miracle happening in front of their eyes. Isn't it interesting that if you read about the history of the Israelites as they were going, all the mumblings and groanings and complainings they had, and yet the very presence of God was right there. Wow, don't do that. Don't be like them. Don't be like that. Listen to me. God wants to be a miracle in your life, but if you spend your time on all the negative things going on in your life, you're forgetting the goodness of God. And we're to proclaim his goodness. In fact, that Moses said, you know, I want to see your face. I want to see your presence, Lord. And here's what the Lord said. I'll have all my goodness go before you. Think about that. You see, in God's presence is his goodness. And so what happens is, if in his presence all we do is mumble and complain and gripe about what's going on in our life, we're missing the whole point. His presence is there and he wants to talk to you and wants to love on you. Just receive it. Get over yourself. You know what I mean? You know, we come in and we're like, I got this problem with you, God. Stop it. Slap yourself. Do whatever you got to do. You know, sew your mouth shut. You know, whatever you need to do to stop grumbling and complaining in the presence of God. But rather come and say, Jesus, help me. I need you. I need your presence in a tangible way. Just like the Israelites had that. I just need to be reminded that you're there for me. And the Bible refers to this kind of presence as the Shekinah glory, the visible presence of God. I've seen it over the years. You know, it's not like an everyday thing for me, but there are times I have seen the Shekinah glory of God, and it's the most amazing experience. Now, here's the thing. I don't live to seek that. I live to seek him. And if that shows up, that's just like a bonus, if you know what I'm saying. But what we have to do is acknowledge whether we're physically seeing something with our eyes or not, that the presence of God is with us. Now, why can I say that with such certainty? Why can I stand here and say, you absolutely, each of you that know Jesus as Lord and Savior, have the presence of God in your life? Here's why. The Bible in 1 Corinthians 3:16 says this, you are the temple of the Holy Spirit. And when you read in the Old Testament, all through the Old Testament, you had the tabernacle and then the temple. The presence of God was always there over the Holy of Holies place. So if you are now the temple of the Holy Spirit, that means the presence of God abides in you. The question is, are you letting him out? You know, or do we treat the presence of God kind of like a rabbit that you'd have at home? It's in like a cage, and you get the rabbit out, and you play with the rabbit a little bit, and you put it back in its cage and lock it up, and there's where it is. You see, that's how many Christians live their lives. They let the rabbit out during Sunday morning, you know, maybe during a prayer meeting or a midweek Bible study, they let the rabbit out, but then the rest of the week, the rabbit is locked away. The presence of God is like, no, 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 I got this. Now, do you know why you and I do that sometimes? Because we know we'd like to do something different than what God wants to do. And so we unconsciously lock him away inside of our lives. And here's the thing, he's a perfect gentleman. He won't force his way into any circumstance that we have. We have to invite him. There should not be any cages or locks on the presence of God in your life or in mine. I can't encourage you enough with this, how important that is. So let's talk a little more about the presence. There's two more verses that I'd like you to see. Now, here's what happens. The presence of God is there. It's tangible. And Pharaoh decides, look it, I've changed my mind. I'm not going to let these people go. They were our slaves. They did all the work around here. Now, we're going to have to do it. That's no good. So he gets all his soldiers and chariots together, you know, hundreds and hundreds, thousands of people, and they come out against the children of Israel. The children of Israel, they're going, and they get to the Red Sea, and they're literally blocked in. They have no place that they can go. And Moses prays, and he says, look it. You know, today you're going to see the salvation of the Lord. He's going to make a way. And the Lord says, open up. You know, put your staff up. I'll open up the sea. And he does. Now let's read what God does during that time. Exodus 14, verses 19 and 20. Two verses. And the angel of God who went before the camp of Israel moved and went behind them. And the pillar of cloud went from before them and stood behind them. So it came between the camp of the Egyptians in the camp of Israel. Thus it was a cloud and darkness to the one, and it gave light by night to the other. So the one did not come near the other all that night. And when we go on and read, the children of Israel get through across, and the Egyptians try to follow, and the Lord allows the waters to come in on them, and all of them are killed. Wow, quite a story. But what I want to focus on is the Holy Spirit here, the presence of God. What does he do? He gets between the enemy and the Israelites. That's exactly what God does in our life as well. You see, when we're talking about this whole story, and let me kind of pull this together right now so you understand why I even brought this up. When we talk about Egypt and we talk about the children of Israel leaving Egypt to go to the promised land, that's a shadow or a foreshadowing talking about us as believers in the New Testament. Egypt is a picture of the world, you know, the slavery, how we're enslaved to the world and its systems. And then God comes along by the Lamb, by Jesus, and delivers us. And we begin this journey, this lifelong journey of leaving the world to go to our promised land. That's what God is calling us to do. And here's the thing. How did the children of Israel get from the world, Egypt, to their promised land? Through the presence and power, guidance of the Holy Spirit. And that's what we see. We see this physical thing. Now, here's the thing. It hasn't changed for you and I. As we become born again, we need the presence of God to lead us into the promises that he has for us. And it's going to be hard. You can read about it. The children of Israel went through tough times. Here they are mumbling and complaining, as I said earlier. And literally the presence of God was right there. Thank goodness that God will never leave us nor forsake us. Can you say amen to that? Amen. How many people have done some grumbling over the years? My hands up. You know, what I'm telling you is shared wisdom from years of mumbling and grumbling. And one day the Lord said, why are you complaining so much? I'm like, well, what do you mean? He's like, look, I'm a good God. Why are you mumbling and complaining? I'm like, I'm sorry. I still do. My wife actually was just talking to me about this the other day. She says, you grumble and complain a lot. I'm like, I'm sorry. And then I said, do I do it all the time? She said, no, mostly just to me. You know, and it's not that I'm grumbling and complaining about her. It's just she's like my confidant, if you know what I'm saying. And I had to actually repent. I said, honey, I'm really sorry. I don't want to be a dumping ground to you. I don't want God to be a dumping ground. And I actually said to her, I repent right now. So that was just a couple of days ago. Talk about fresh, you know, fresh stuff going on. That happens to me. Listen, I'm sure it happens to other people. You have to catch yourself. You know, and so I told Sandra, I said, well, whatever you have to do, just don't hit me too hard. You know, but the thing is, sometimes we just need that little kind of, hey, you know, wake up. And that's what Sandra provided for me. And the Holy Spirit at times does that too. Not to hurt you, but to just get you back on track again. Because what does he want to do? He wants to lead you. We're not going to talk about it today, but as they crossed over through the Red Sea and come out on the other side, what would happen is God had them build the tabernacle, which was a precursor to the temple. It was a mobile presence of God tent. And when they had this building up and erected, the presence of God would be there. And the Bible says that when the presence of God lifted up, it meant it was time to break camp. And then the presence of God would begin to move in a certain direction. They literally would follow the presence of God wherever it went. And then when it stopped, they would build camp. Sometimes they'd be in one place for a day or two. Sometimes for several years in other places. But they followed the leading of the presence of God. That's the same for you and I. But here's what's happened. We've settled for second best. Let me give you an illustration. If I took an egg, you know, if I went to a farm where they had chickens and roosters, and I took an egg from one of the nests and held it up to you, and I'd say, well, what is this? And you say, it's an egg. And I'd say, well, okay, is it fertilized or not? You know, is there a baby chicken there or not? Could you answer by just looking at the egg? No, you couldn't, right? You would have no idea. It's just a white egg. It looks the same as all the other eggs. So what do you have to do to see whether that egg has life in it? Right. It's called candling. It's an old term, actually, and it's called candling because back, you know, 100 years ago, you didn't have electric light bulbs. You would take a candle, and you would light it, and you take the egg, and you put it like this in front of the candle, and then you would look, and believe it or not, eggs are semi-transparent. And so you can actually see whether there's a little chick inside. In fact, I have a picture to show you. Here's an egg that is about 5 to 7 days old. And if you look down kind of in the middle to the right, that's the embryo right in the middle, that little dark spot. And then all that red you see is the blood vessels that are being created before the actual form of the chick happens. And it's amazing how quick, I think it's 21, 28 days, that chick will be fully formed and will be born. So what you do as a farmer, you take all the eggs in and you candle them, and then you put them under hens so that they can be developed and become little chicks. Now, what would happen if you didn't bother doing that? You know, half the eggs underneath that hen would just rot because there's no life inside of it. See, here's the thing. You and I have all kinds of ideas and plans in life, aspirations, and it's like an egg. And we're brooding over these eggs. We're laying on these eggs. We're caring for these eggs. But my question is, have you taken them to the Lord and have them candled? In other words, have you allowed the fire of the Lord, the presence of the Lord, to illuminate it, to show you whether there's life in it or not? You see, Scripture says this in Proverbs 16, verse 3. Commit your plans to the Lord so that your thoughts might be established. And how is this connected? Here's the thing. We have all kinds of ideas, but the thing is, unless we're consulting the presence of God, unless we're asking the Holy Spirit, is this of you or not? We're not having Him approve it. Here's what most times you and I do, and I'm as guilty as anyone. We get an idea, and we go to God, and we want Him to rubber stamp it. It's like, this is my plan, Jesus. I like this plan. This fits how I feel and what I want to do. Will you please rubber stamp this for me? Just give me your stamp of approval. I got news for you. God doesn't rubber stamp anything. He just doesn't. And so what we do as believers, we have to be, listen to me, open-hearted and open-minded when we come into His presence. That means that we're not coming with a certain bend or a certain preconceived idea or a certain way we want to do things. Because let me tell you something. When we come that way to the Lord, it's very hard to hear His voice. Because our voice is a lot louder. Because we want to do what we want to do. Let me give you an example. About 3-4 years ago, I decided we needed to replace our old van. And it had done a lot of life. I did things with that van that no one should do with a van. I carried like a house full of shingles in it. I carried lumber. That poor thing, I killed it. You know, and it was way past its shelf date, so to speak. So it was time to go. So I got rid of it, and I'm on the hunt for a new van. And so I'm a guy, you know, that was my business. I was in the trades. I know what I wanted, so I'm looking for a certain kind, certain mileage, certain model, you know, all of that, and I got it all figured out. And meanwhile, Sandra comes on and says, Carl, you know, you seem to be rushing along with it. I'm like, I know what I'm doing. I'm okay. You know, and she just come with that still small voice, kind of sounded like the Holy Spirit. Spouses, you need to be listening to your wives and your husbands, especially when they don't have a vested interest. They're just there to, you know, because they love you, they're telling you. And I'm like, no, I know. You know, and she says, you know, seem to be rushing. You know, why don't you take it? No, we really need this van. We really need to do this. So I ended up getting a van out of the city, and it, you know, it seemed like everything that I wanted. And so I got a reasonable price and everything, so I got this thing. So a week later, a friend of mine calls, and he says, "Ah, man, I wanted to call you first, and I really felt to call you first. I've got a van." Names it, you know, lists all the different things about it, for a third of the price of what I paid. And right there, the Holy Ghost said, "That was my first choice. You got second choice." And I realized right then that what I had done, it wasn't that I was completely out of God's will, but what I was doing was that I was impatient, and I didn't wait for him. I didn't bring the egg to him to let him candle it. Oh, and oh, by the way, about a month later, I had to do a major repair to that van. Cost me like even thousands of dollars to deal with it. So the point is, God knew all that, and he has first best, not second best. Now you might say, well, that's buying a car. What was God got to do? God has everything to do with that. God knows everything. He knows what house you should buy. He knows what car you should buy. He knows what food you should eat. Come on now. Let's be real. The presence of God isn't, quote, just for spiritual things. Your life is supposed to be spiritual. Every part of it, from beginning to end, when you wake up in the morning to when you lay your head down at night, it's all to be spiritual. That means the presence of God should be included in everything you do. Now, having said that, I don't think you should go into deep prayer and meditation to pick what color socks you're going to wear. Pretty well anything goes nowadays. You know what I'm saying? But be conscious of the presence of the Lord in everything that you're doing, especially when it involves major decisions, especially when it involves relationships, especially when it involves your job or major financial purchases. You should be consulting the Lord. Bring your egg, your plan, to the Lord. Let him candle it. Let his presence shine through it so you can see whether his life is in it or not. Because if his life isn't a part of it, it's just going to be bad. Just like, all right, learn from my stupidity so you don't have to go through the pain financially. And so now every time I get in that van, what do I think? Let me tell you what I think. Second best. That's what I think. Now, I don't feel any guilt anymore, no shame. That's all done. But it's second best. You don't want second best. You want first best, don't you? Amen. So just in review, we all have access into his presence. Man, take that. He wants us to experience his presence daily. Have that consciousness of that. He wants to guide us and protect us. I've shown you that through the Old Testament, through some other quotes as well. And third, we're going to finish with this. Pursuing the presence of the Lord, we must be of our highest priority in this life. See, all those other ones, in a sense, is just listing what God has done. But this last one now is our part. I'm going to ask the music team to come up. In that, are we making God's presence a high priority in our lives? And one of the ways we can define that is, well, how much time are we giving to his presence? If it's just a Sunday morning hour a week, let me tell you something, that's not going to cut it. That's not going to make a difference in your life. It's needed, and we need to do that. I'm not telling you to abandon it. But let me tell you something. He needs to be a part of your life all of the time. And we have to decide to be conscious of that. Amen? So important.